But I'm playing this music because Joe Rose loves to rip us comic book nerds out there. The Avengers movie trailer for the Endgame movie that's coming out literally just posted on the internet about 40 minutes ago, and it's literally breaking the internet. Twitter is overrun by people on this. I know you know nothing about this, Joe.
Correct.
The Avengers movie is going to be huge. It makes billions of dollars, this whole franchise. And the last one is coming out next year, April 19. They just dropped the trailer. And it's going to be very big. I know you're excited.
No, I saw the guys in the other room.
Watching the trailer. Yep.
going
We're a bunch
after.
Of nerds. Yeah, I watch it too.
We've only been waiting for this movie for like 15 years.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm thinking everything going on in my life, man, the last thing I got to worry about is
a movie.
Yeah. I'm worried about scoring a touchdown on Sunday. That's where I am.
This is a Derrick Henry game, this Avengers movie that's coming out. A lot of people are going to be waiting for this one.
I'd say it's a little bigger than that.
Maybe. It's possible. By the way, all season long I was doing watch parties for Dos Equis, and we were registering people to win a pair of Orange Bowl tickets. And we didn't know what the game was going to be, obviously. And they have a huge game coming down here to the Orange Bowl in a couple weeks. It's, you know, I think it's December 29th, the game. We picked a name this morning. Hector from Hollywood Beach is going to get a phone call today. He is the winner of these tickets. It's a huge giveaway we had, and if you're at any of the watch parties.
And those tickets are expensive.
Expensive tickets, good tickets, and Hector from Hollywood. I'm not going to mention the last name, but Hector from Hollywood Beach was our winner of the Dos Equis tickets. Congratulations. You were at one of the watch parties this year with me or with Crowder or Hawk. I did a bunch of them this year, so I just wanted to make sure that we gave the due respect to Hector, who might be listening this morning, and if you knew you signed up for it, someone from promotions would give you a call, give you all the information, how to pick up the tickets and everything. But really cool giveaway we did during the watch parties this year, and someone, Hector, got awesome tickets.
Dos Equis is a big sponsor now of the Orange Bowl.
That's right.
The other night, the event that they did, along with those delicious Hoffman chocolates.
Oh, hi there. Hello. I didn't realize we had a little chocolate in there.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, hey, we got all kinds of stuff going on here. And congratulations, Hassan Whiteside. His girlfriend's getting ready to have a baby. I believe
it's
his
girlfriend. Yeah, mazel tov to
Hassan. I don't think Hassan's married, but a girlfriend. So congratulations, and to the girlfriend, good luck babysitting, too. The baby and Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah,
that's going to be big. I know it sounds like a half a shot, and it is.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about Hassan for a while now, and the immaturity that he's showing.
She's got the baby in her hand, and Hassan's sitting there playing video games all night with, like, six buddies.
Eating, Cheesecake Factory.
And just sitting there going through everything, and she says, Hassan.
Time to change a diaper.
If you don't want to help with the baby, at least go out and shoot free throws.
God, if she says that, she's the winner. She's such the winner on that. That was a shot, but that was a good one.
There was no reason.
Listen, 4 for his last 28 shooting free throws. It's not really a shot because it's a fact.
You know what? Hopefully when he joins the team at some point, when he rejoins the team and he's ready to play and comes out and looks really motivated, like the way he started the season, and can help with everything. The other news coming out, by the way, congratulations to Vernon Carey Jr. My gosh, he has grown up to become one of the great high school basketball players in the country. Yesterday on national TV, made his commitment to Duke. No surprise. Soon as I saw the final three, I went slam dunk. He ain't going to Michigan State. There was no way that was going to happen. So congratulations to Vernon Carey Jr. on the top. Was he rated 2 or 3 in the country?
Some polls 1, some polls 2. He's right there. Top 3 in every poll, though.
So Vernon Carey Jr. and Vern, who I've known for a long, long time. And, God, I watched Vernon Carey at Northwestern High School. Matter of fact, I went to a practice because they were getting ready for the state championship back then when TV covered all the high school stuff. And we went over to see all the guys because he played on some really good football teams at Northwestern High School. And now we're talking about his son.
That's
pretty sad when I remember going to Vernon Carey out at a damn practice at Northwestern High School. Matter of fact, I've only been to Northwestern High School twice in all my year, and I just happen to remember. Once was Vernon Carey and once for Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow.
When Teddy was trying to make his decision, he was on some good teams, but Teddy was, remember the whole Miami And then Miami let the coach go and ends up going to
Louisville.
Goes to Louisville, right. And ends up having a great career and really great, great college career. And we'll see what happens because his name is also going to be super hot coming up here with everybody else. So, God, we've been all over about everything. And, of course, the Dolphins and Patriots coming up Sunday. Looks like without Xavier Howard, which means McTyre's going to have to play a lot of football.
Good Lord.
Going to help. But I thought Gotcha had it right on the money, and Devon joined us earlier this morning. You got to get a huge, you got to get a big pass rush with your front four. One of those four guys has got to get a good rush. If you rush a pass rush, a fifth guy, okay, but you're going to need guys to cover. You're going to need guys to help out and cover, especially now that the one guy that you can leave alone and not worry about, Xavier Howard's probably not going to play in this game.
Well, what's been the blueprint for the Dolphins over the last 5, 6, 10 years when they do get that win against the Patriots?
It's been pass rush.
Cam Wake's got 2 sacks or 7 pressures, whatever it is. They get to Brady, put a little – doesn't mean they have to have 10 sacks against Brady to win this game, but you got to pressure him. And now he's getting a little bit older. He's obviously – he's never been a mobile guy, but now he's really extra lean on the mobile side. Get to him. Try to get in. Show me one game this year where we walk out Sunday night or talk about it on Monday morning by, hey, you know what was the A-plus yesterday? That pass rush.
We just haven't had the pass rush like we've had in the past. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if there's three guys that – and doesn't have to – I mean, it needs to be all of them most likely, but your three veteran pass rushers – Andre Branch, Cam Wake.
Robert Quinn.
Those guys all need to show up. And one of those guys, in obvious third or second and long situations, they got to get there. They just have to. And if they don't, it's going to be a long, long day. And then on the other side, how the Dolphins going to score points? I think they got to get some really good field position because this team is not built for long drives. It hadn't been built for a lot of drives at all.
Yeah.
To get things going there and see what they can get going in this game. Now, everybody says, hey, it's always a close game. Doesn't matter. I know what it looks like on paper, but the Dolphins always late in the season had their best game of the year last year by far, what they're able to do to the Patriots. Just put together a great game plan. But they're not going to fool anybody this year by putting Kenyon Drake out on first down, one-on-one on a linebacker out in the slot. And he just smokes the guy. That's not going to happen. They've seen it all. So really curious to see, man, because this is it for the Dolphins. I mean, I know there's three left, but you lose this game, you go to 6-7.
Yeah, pretty much done at that point or close to it.
And then it's on because, listen, Tennessee, they win last night. The Ravens are already 7-5 on the season, even though they're getting ready to go play Kansas City, and that will not be an easy game either. But yeah,
there's too many teams that are like in that same little area. 6-6, 6-6, 6-6, 7-6, 7-5. There's just too many. Pittsburgh in the 4 seed right now at 7-4-1. Like there's just too many. You gotta win the rest of your games. 10-6, I think, is the only way this Dolphins team gets the wild card.
Yes.
I don't think 9-7 gets you in.
Somebody's going to stay hot. I think Colts are in trouble, too.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Unless you like the Colts beating the Texans.
Texans too hot for me right now.
Could happen, but they're on a roll. And it looks to me there ain't going to be a whole lot of time to throw in that game with the pass rush that's going to happen there. Hey, we're expecting Mike Florio from Football Talk to join us. We'll have Mike. We'll talk to him about everything going on in the National Football League. And with Mike, one thing good about Mike, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all coming up.
Well, I thought you were going to say the good, the bad, and the turd. Like that's how I...
He doesn't do the turd watch anymore.
I know,
anymore.
Because he's NBC's corporate now. Got to be careful.
I used to laugh.
Turd watch.
So the turd watch was...
He had the counter on the side.
And it was amazing because it used to be loaded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Loaded. It's actually not bad now.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. He's going to join us next. We'll also take your text messages after that. 56022 Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
All right. we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline real quickly. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com going to join us, brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager, the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Mike, we're doing great. And, hey, Mike, it's growing every day, man. Players skipping bowl games, and I don't just think it's going to be first-round picks. I think down the road it's going to be guys going in the second and third round going, if I ain't playing for a national championship, I'm skipping it. I'm getting ready because I'm getting paid by the next time I play a game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I agree with it completely. Everybody else connected to college football makes business decisions. And then when the one group of constituents, the guys who play the game, when they make business decisions, they're vilified for it. If you make that decision, you make it. And I say that knowing full well, there's a chance that my West Virginia Mountaineers may not have Will Grier when they play Syracuse in the bowl game in Orlando. But you know what? If it was a bigger bowl game, he'd be playing. If it was a playoff game, he'd be playing. And that's all the more reason to expand the playoffs, right? The more teams in the playoffs, the more teams that'll be insulated from this dynamic of guys saying, I'm not going to play. Now, the problem is, signing up for up to maybe four more games if they would ever go to 16.
Right.
But the more meaningful bowl games, the more players are going to choose to continue to lace them up and play, even though that risk of injury that is always there, it becomes more and more prevalent as you get closer to, and the consequences become greater as you get closer to your payday.
All right, let's go to last night real quick. Derrick Henry, pretty decent game, 99-yard touchdown run, 238 yards, four touchdowns. Not having a great season, but last night definitely helped out his stats for the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's the kid that had C-minuses on every report card every year in school and now brings home straight A's. You know, the problem, little Jimmy, when you bring home straight A's, mom and dad are going to say, why don't you do this more often?
Yep.
And the expectations are going to increase for him. And this Titans team, I can't figure them out. One week they look good. The next week they don't look good. They've now strung together a couple of wins in a five-day stretch, and they're 7-6. And who knows what they can do. They're going to need some help to get into the postseason. But, you know, this is a team where if the right group shows up at the right time, they can give whoever they would face in the postseason a hard time. We saw them up the Patriots, and I think they could play with anybody in the AFC if they have that good version of the Titans show up instead of the bad version that appears from time to time.
Mike, on the other side of that, is everybody safe in Jacksonville? Somebody asked me yesterday, are they going to fire some folks, either a coaching staff or front office? What happens in Jacksonville with whatever has happened to this team?
Well, when Doug Marrone fired the offensive coordinator on a team that already was done, you know, this wasn't a, hey, this is our spark to try to make it to the playoffs. They were done. I feel like what he was trying to do was maybe take some of the heat off of himself preemptively and keep himself from potentially being fired after the season. That showing last night on national TV will do plenty to erase any good feelings that came out of the 6-0 win over the Colts on Sunday. So I think Marrone needs to be concerned. I think whoever ultimately made the decision to keep Blake Bortles, and I don't know who made that final call, but when they could have signed Teddy Bridgewater, they could have pursued Case Keenum, they could have signed Kirk Cousins, they could have traded for Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor, they could have drafted Lamar Jackson with the 29th pick in the draft. And the better he plays down the stretch, the more glaring Jacksonville's decision to pass on him. And they could have kept Bortles and drafted Lamar Jackson, just like the Ravens have Flacco and Lamar Jackson. And wouldn't it be great if the Jaguars could transition now from Bortles to Jackson? I think whoever made that, keep the devil that you know in Bortles and hope that he finds a ceiling higher than where he's been so far. Whoever made that decision, I think, is going to be making decisions for somebody else next year.
All right, speaking of Baltimore, there's a couple big games this weekend on the NFL schedule.
Including Mike's Sunday night game is.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
By the way,
right?
That guy doing Sunday night football, whoever put that together, that guy, you can't pay that guy enough money for the games you're getting on Sunday night, Mike.
Well, and look, the NFL makes those flex decisions. I think the game was supposed to be Steelers-Raiders on Sunday Night Football, but the Raiders are horrible. And, you know, the NFL likes to put on a bigger platform the teams that have earned the opportunity to be there. And it's in the NFL's interest to do it. Obviously, the network enjoys it when it happens. But the NFL has learned that the huge ratings that get everyone's attention, those ratings come from putting the best games in the biggest spot. And they have that one item of flexibility on Sunday. They don't have it for Monday. They don't have it for Thursday. But they have it for Sunday, and they've used it, what, three or four times already this year.
KC Baltimore, Rams, Bears, defense against offense this weekend. It's going to be a couple of other good games this weekend, except for outside of Sunday Night Football, too. What do you think of those two?
Well, I think that the Ravens-Chiefs game can be very compelling. If the Ravens, my approach would be very simple if I'm John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens, and that is go out there and use the full 40 seconds off of the play clock every time. Constantly keep the Chiefs offense frustrated, keep them on the sideline. When they are on the field, they may press a little bit harder because they've been standing there twiddling their thumbs waiting for the opportunity. We saw Lamar Jackson on the first drive of his first game as a starter. The Ravens ran the ball 11 times total between Lamar Jackson and the running backs. I think they need to do that. Grind it out, slow it down, frustrate the Chiefs, and then play good defense. And that Ravens defense is solid. Are they solid enough to slow down Patrick Mahomes? We'll find out. But you can slow him down by keeping him out of the game, and I think that that should be the top objective for the Ravens.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers, is he that much of a D-back? Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't remember a star quarterback getting blasted as badly as we've seen over the last week. What's been your take on Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, it's funny. When the Planets started to line up against Mike McCarthy, that's when I started to notice more and more pushback against Aaron Rodgers. And there's things about Aaron Rodgers that we just don't know and maybe won't know. And one thing I've been fascinated by is the possibility that some of these Sunday splash reports from Jay Glazer or whoever will entail anonymous sources shedding some light on Aaron Rodgers' practice habits, work habits, how he is in the meeting room. How can you say he's not part of the problem? The Green Bay Packers have been sluggish on offense. Rodgers seems disinterested a lot of the time. You'll see him kind of slide into the zone when he needs to, but the intensity isn't there from the beginning of the game through the end of the game. And I think there are some real differences between him and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. And Rodgers is partially responsible for this. Just as you are a great passer because you can throw the football like threading a needle and you can pull off that Hail Mary from time to time. You know, where is that high level of ability the rest of the game? It's almost like a weird sort of a bizarro version of Tim Tebow. Because Tebow was the same way. Not that Tebow wasn't trying, but Tebow couldn't perform the first three quarters. Fourth quarter, he found his groove. And I feel like Rodgers does that far too often. Where are you quarter one, two, and three? And we saw on Sunday against the Cardinals, he couldn't will the team to victory. You know, the other argument is Demaryius Randle, the former Packers defensive back, now with the Browns, said on Thursday that the Packers traded everybody away and expected Aaron Rodgers to be magical, and he just isn't this year. I just feel like at some level, part of that blame falls to Rodgers. And it'll be interesting to see with McCarthy gone, will he be feeding that concept to people in the media, and will they start parroting it, and would the narrative get even more harsh against Rodgers?
Yeah. You think any of these college coaches end up in the NFL and keep mentioning different names? Or is this going to be all NFL for NFL this year?
Lincoln Riley's name has come up several times, and Baker Mayfield talked about it this week. And, you know, I remember initially seeing the words on paper, and then in the first hour of my show, which is not simulcast, we played the sound. You could hear what he said. And then at some point on the simulcast, they actually ran the video, and Mayfield had that kind of grin on his face, like, you know, when he's talking about Lincoln Riley, like, you know, I think that he would like to see Lincoln Riley be his head coach, and he thinks Lincoln Riley is ready to take over an NFL locker room. So Lincoln Riley is the one guy that I would be keeping an eye on. But, you know, there's different categories of coaches. We see it every year. We've got the coordinators who have risen through the ranks who get an opportunity. We see former NFL head coaches get recycled. The one category of coach that I'm keeping an eye on is the coach who is currently a head coach of another NFL team. It's not unprecedented. John Gruden was essentially traded from the Raiders to the Bucks. The Browns tried to get Jim Harbaugh 5 years ago, and that fell apart after it did make some progress toward happening. Is there a head coach out there who is ready to leave his current team and is one of these teams that will be looking for a new coach? Is that team willing to give something up to try to get him? And that's going to be, you know, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. Not that anybody's going to try to get Sean McVay. That's not happening because the Rams are never going to give him up. But what if there's a coach out there and maybe it's getting close to the point where it's time to separate and maybe there's an offer to be made, and maybe one of these teams, Packers, Browns, whoever else has a job open, ends up with a coach who currently is a head coach with another team. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying we have to keep an eye on that category of potential hires this year.
What about Jim Harbaugh? You brought him up. I saw reports of a guy that might want to go back to the NFL. He doesn't have to worry about Urban Meyer anymore, but what about his return to the NFL and maybe to a certain team here in South Florida?
I was told earlier this week if he ever goes back to the NFL, it would end up being the Dolphins, and I don't know that he is going to go back to the NFL. He's been linked to the Browns, the Packers. Here's the reality with Jim Harbaugh. That guy shows up and takes over, and he's not doing it out of malice. He thinks that it's in the best interest of the organization for him to come in and try to take over. He's ultra-competitive, and he wants to win at everything. He wants to win at every game, every practice, every press conference, every human interaction. He wants to walk away from it feeling like, I won. And that wears on people. And, you know, if you're the GM of the Packers or the GM of the Browns, do you really want that guy to be the head coach that you're working with on a regular basis? Now, in Cleveland, the owner may decide, I don't care, I'm making the hire, I want Jim Harbaugh. But as of right now, I think that it's more likely that he stays at Michigan. But, you know, who knows? He's never stayed anywhere more than 4 years. He stayed exactly 4 years everywhere he's been as a head coach. 4 years at Oakland as an assistant, 4 years at the University of San Diego, 4 years at Stanford, 4 years at San Francisco, and now this is year four that is wrapping up at Michigan. So if he's going to leave, if it's going to follow the trend that has been set at four prior stops, then this is the year that he would move on.
Yeah, well, just something else to look for here in the near future. Reuben Foster's girlfriend came out and said, hey, guess what? He's been smacking me around, and I lied the first time around, but I'm not lying this time for him. And he's a bad guy, and it's a slap in my face that the Redskins picked him up. What's your take on everything with Reuben Foster now, the girlfriend coming out? Does it hurt the cause anymore?
Well, you know, it's one of the common dynamics when you have a domestic violence type of a relationship where the victim is going to have a strong motivation to help the person that she loves. And,
right.
And that's what she did. That's why domestic violence experts aren't surprised at all by this turn of events. The problem is when you are on the record with inconsistent statements, that's not conducive to getting a conviction of someone when that very high standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt is the measuring stick for putting someone behind bars. However, from the NFL's perspective, they're not bound by proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
The NFL uses a lower standard. And see, now that we have a motivated victim who will cooperate with the NFL, presumably, this is somebody who is seeking justice in any form she can get it, much like the victim in the Ezekiel Elliott case. Now, Alyssa Ennis meets with the NFL multiple times, oof, potentially, on all of the incidents. And the next thing you know, Reuben Foster is suspended 6 games for the first incident, 6 games plus an enhancer because it's a repeat offense for the second incident. The NFL ultimately can do whatever it wants with Reuben Foster, but I think that's the real concern. I don't think that the authorities are going to change their position on that incident from February, but I do believe that what ultimately happens here is the NFL imposes an even stiffer punishment on Reuben Foster when it's all said and done.
All right, what do you think about Ricky Williams now starting a new football league? You excited for that?
Did you see that yesterday, Mike?
And they're soliciting owners online. If you go to the website for the Freedom Football League, they want people with money to fill out a form and, you know, volunteer to own a team.
Own a team, Mike, me, you, and Joe. I mean, you two will pay for it, but I'll be there.
Hey, Mike got a nice check. I put paying for most of that.
Here's the thing. I understand the motivation to add more football now that legalized gambling is going to begin to proliferate throughout the country, really everywhere except in Florida, thanks to Disney. But the reality is, if gambling is legal, you need things on which to gamble. And football season goes from September until the end of December with a handful of games in January and early February for the NFL. And after that, you've got 7 or 8 months of no football to gamble on. So the AAF, the XFL, the fan-controlled football league, which is a thing that Richard Sherman's involved in and Joe Montana's involved in, and they've been doing media tours to support that. Now you've got this Freedom Football League. Don Yee, the agent that represents Tom Brady, a couple of years ago there was talk about a league that caters to high school players who are coming into college, and instead of going to college and being exploited and not being paid, you can get paid to play in this league. So I think that there is a demand for more football. The question is, in what form will it manifest itself? And, you know, I raised the question yesterday on an afternoon podcast I do a few times a week. How will we cover it at PFT? I don't know. I think that we cover it as a curiosity, and then if people do embrace it, if people watch it, if people support it, and I'm astounded that the XFL is going to put multiple teams in NFL stadiums, because if you can't fill those stadiums, if you don't, if they only have, well, hey, you got 40,000 people, but it looks like an embarrassment because you've got 40,000 empty seats. This is going to be a challenge to find out whether or not there is a market for it. And, you know, all of these leagues, maybe one of them succeeds, maybe all of them fails. But it's a new frontier with this many different football leagues popping up. And it seems like every news cycle we're hearing about another one.
Yep. More football. Everybody wants more football.
All right. Can't get enough.
That's the thing. Do we want more football?
I don't know. I think so. I don't know.
I'm betting against Ricky Williams not making it.
Well, I think when football season ends, I'm kind of ready to move on. Now, the thing is, the NFL is a 12-month-a-year proposition.
Yep.
It goes into different phases. It goes into the business phase, the free agency phase, the draft phase, and that's one thing the NFL should be concerned about. If these other leagues become viable and they drain attention that otherwise would go to the NFL, that's not good for the NFL, because the NFL makes a lot of money in the offseason from all the attention that people pay to free agency, the draft, and all the offseason maneuvering that really helped us become what we are. It's
right.
Not the in-season coverage. It's the off-season coverage where our traffic goes through the roof.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what happens in those leagues.
Well, it's going to be fun. Thanks, Mike. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
See you, guys.
Mike Florio,
ProFootballTalk.com. It's amazing. Brought to you by Bud Light, by the way. Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. All right, let's load up the text line. 56022. We'll read some of your texts in this last segment. That's on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Well, we are going to, before we call it a Friday here, because we are about ready to kick off some serious Friday around here, jump on the old Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22-560-22. What do we got rolling in here today?
Personally, before I get there, I started my Friday last night. I told you before the show, I had my parents over for a little Hanukkah action last night.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, my wife's like, oh, are you going to cook like a big dinner for your parents coming over? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to cook. It's going to be fun, this and that. I'm going to make potato pancakes, the whole deal. About 40 minutes before I was about to cook, I called my dad, and I'm like, Dad, you want to pick something up for me on the way here? I just made the order. He goes, yeah, of course. Where do you want me to go? I go, Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza. I ordered a pizza. I ordered 40 wings.
So instead of cooking, you said, screw it. Let's get Anthony's.
There were six or seven of us there. My, you know, cousin was there, and I said, 40 wings, meatball ricotta pizza, two orders of the eggplant merino, because my brother and my wife like it, one of the big salads, this and that. Bring it all over, the little pieces of bread they give you with everything. And you know what? Everyone was happy last night.
No,
I didn't have to cook.
You told me that this morning.
I was so excited to tell you
and
that.
It is funny because now Marga goes, hey, if you don't mind, I'm just going to order. I'm craving that pizza from Anthony's.
That's right.
We'll go get it. Let's do it.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that, you know, I ordered it to my house. It wasn't like we went to my parents. So all the leftovers are still at my house.
Yeah.
So I got a couple slices of pizza.
Yeah, but your mom and dad, that's a great thing about mom and dad. They're not going, hey, can we take some home?
No, but I got Josh there, you know, my brother. He's like, hey, you got a plate? I'm like, yeah, what do you need a plate for? He's got tinfoil? I go, you're not taking anything home.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with this. You know what I should have told him last night? You can go get me a gift card from Anthony's right now.
Ooh, what do you got on that
Well,
right
I just
now?
Want to tell people, if you're looking still for something to give out to people, for every $50 in Anthony gift cards you buy, you'll receive $10 bonus card back for you. So if you buy somebody a $50 gift card, $10 for you. So go buy
That's
everybody
nice.
$50 gift cards right now. And the bonus offer is available through December 31st. So don't miss out on any of that.
Nobody's going to get mad if they get a gift card.
Oh,
nobody, I've never met and go, hey, I got Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza $50 gift card or $100 gift card. You're going to go and
exactly.
You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, meatball ricotta. It's on my mind right now. All right, let's get us some text messages. 56022, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. First one that just came in, fresh off the text machine. Hey, guys, what do you think about Will Greer? Will he be a good fit for the Dolphins? We've talked about that a million times. I don't know what Will Greer would look like in the NFL, but he certainly is a sexy option at quarterback.
I've seen him look really good.
And really bad at times.
And I've seen him... He's turned out to be a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to be when he left Florida.
Of course.
He's going to get drafted in the first two rounds.
I agree.
I I just don't. I mean, I don't know. I sit here, I'd just be making it up if I told you.
Listen, I think the Dolphins are going to have a rookie like quarterback him, on their team next year, no matter what.
Oh yeah,
because I don't think Ryan.
If they're not,
yeah.
Then we're going to, nobody will have a title, just be known as idiots if we don't draft a quarterback. You'll just be known as the idiot club from top. Oh, you're what? Well, what? No, you're an idiot. That's what you're going to say.
Someone just texted and I'm a lazy ass for ordering in last night, not cooking for the family. Yeah, sort of.
No, feel
but,
bad.
But on, feel in all honesty, that one. If you're giving me the option of cooking or bringing an Anthony's coal fire, you know what mine's going to be 100 times out
you know,
of 100.
I've told you I'm an empty nester and that wife tries to cook and we literally have fights. So I go, don't cook. Don't cook.
Just order something.
Just order something in or whatever that refrigerator has. I got no problem with leftovers.
Eat me.
I grew up on leftovers, and I will eat leftovers until you don't have to worry about them. Yeah, I'm going until that sucker's empty.
That's it. Raf in Miami just texted, I've got no material, but you guys are all aces in my book. Have a great weekend. We appreciate that, Rafa. That's nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
That is a nice, refreshing tweet from somebody.
Taking a shot at call me a lazy ass. Life.
That's good. That's another text, LSU going down to UCF. Mark it down.
Hey, I'm going to say one thing. I want to see how many guys from LSU decide not to play in that game. And second of all, UCF will be motivated much more than LSU.
1,000%.
I think LSU's going to have a little Auburn in them. Like, let's just get through this thing.
How about this one? Joe, Carey had a nice career, Vernon Carey, Big Vern. But we should have taken Big Vince Wilfork. Once that got duped by Belichick.
Boy, do you remember that whole thing? That's funny. A lot of people wanted Big Vince, who went on to have damn near a Hall of Fame career.
I mean, that's going to be the question, right, if he's a Hall of Famer or not. I think he should be, probably. His numbers are pretty good. He's got a bunch of rings.
No.
He's a borderline to...
Big Vince was a... Nobody should have been surprised. He was a great college player.
Yeah, he was.
How about Vince is one of those defensive tackles when everybody goes back and talks about all the great ones that played there? And Vince is the guy nobody ever talks about.
I know.
And I've done it, too. They're going through it, and then somebody younger will go, what about Vince? And you go, oh, God, that's right, man. Vince was really good, too.
That's right.
I went up to talk to him one day.
Yeah.
He went in, I don't know if I caught him in a bad mood, but he didn't have, he was.
Didn't have a lot to say.
Not good. I mean, he was just kind of all Patriot now. He was didn't with no mood to
it's
talk
a Patriot
to you.
Patriot way, man.
Yeah.
And everyone but Izzo. Izzo's the only guy you could probably get a lot out of at that time. Joe, now I know what the Dolphins got for the first 5 nights of Hanukkah. A different player injury every night.
Jeez.
That's what it seems like, right?
Boy, I'll tell you, the Xavier one was a kick in the gut, although I felt that way with a bunch of different guys. Albert Wilson was a kick in
Jakeem
the gut.
Grant was a kick in the gut. A lot of these guys were. Even the beginning of the season was Sitton and Kilgore.
Let me just add this to the list of, okay, all those IR guys, how many of them you want back? Can't bring them all back. How many damaged goods guys can you bring back on your roster? Somebody's got to make you got to sit down with a doctor. Sit down because we're doing everything sports science wise and
analytics
the food
and all that. Yeah.
All the food is healthy now, and we got rid of. They're a banged up team. So who do you bring back of this group? And who you got to keep some.
Sitton. Would you bring Sitton back? That guard position has been so bad for us.
He barely made it through
the
game.
I know.
How can I trust him?
It's just a sexy name. That's the only reason why.
He's really good.
I know.
You see, the problem is all those veteran guys were really good when they played.
But they got injured.
The 30-year-old guys we always talk about, they got injured so quickly.
Hayes, Kilgore.
That was the biggest tease. That was the beautiful girl went out one time with you and said, call me, and she never picked up the phone again.
Hate when that used to happen.
God, that sucked.
Yep. Radio.com. Radio.